Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
First Samuel chapter 30, we'll take a few verses. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south. And Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burnt it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray you, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Please let me prophesy to somebody this morning and say, you shall pursue after this troop. You will overtake them, and without fail recover all. Now turn to somebody else and say, without fail, recover all. Now prophesy one more time and say, without fail, I will recover all. God bless you. Take your seats for a few minutes. This is the month of June. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And we are still alive in God's grace. Amen. Now, permit me, because of time, to be very brief this morning. My area of concern starts with the Amalekites. Do you know that if there is a battle that your parents failed to fight and win, you will inherit that battle? Do you know, while I was working at the bank, when there seems to be some kind of redeployment, somebody is taken out of a particular branch and someone else is brought in as the manager, if you are like me, or for those of us who have worked in the bank, you will notice that there's usually a lot of beans. There's something we call beans that the last person cooked, but the beans was not done. Permit me, you American folks, you may not get this one. What I mean is that, in fact, we call it shengbele. Some call it ewa. We cook so many things. You will review some files and you will ask, how did they get this approval? Are you with me? It is not just... you guys are looking at me. Do you understand what I'm saying? They put you on the seat only for you to realize the last person who was there didn't know what he was doing. But you used to see him at the business meeting and he wears a very big jacket. But he doesn't know anything. Then when you ask him, why did you do it? He said, that's the way they were doing when I got there. There was a man before David, his name was Saul. And God gave him a task to destroy the Amalekites. Do you remember that guy? God gave him a mandate, say, I want you to wipe out the Amalekites. Apparently, when you initially look at that story, the impression we got was that only the king was saved. If you remember when Samuel became very angry at Saul, and Samuel had to kill that king. But fast forward to about 40 years later. It wasn't even up to 40 years, right? It's because Saul was still on the throne here. This story is telling us that there were some banned men, terrorists, who came and assaulted David's camp. The battle that Saul refused to fight, without permission, David inherited it. You see, all these stories are put in the scriptures for us. And one thing I've observed is that a lot of times, we Christians live in self-denial. You see, your parents give you a fantastic picture or image of who they are. Many times, they try to shield us from some of the real issues going on in the family. There are certain things going on in my family my children don't know. So I'm also committing the same crime. Because I just feel if I can correct the error, they won't need to fight. Okay? And there are also some things, as beautiful as you are, that is going on in your own family, my dear sister, that you really would prefer your children not to know about. Is that not so? Even if you live, you may be living or residing in Banana Island, but I hope you know that the banana peel is very slippery. That you reside in Banana Island does not guarantee peace of mind. Because the day death comes for you, your doors will not be able to hold him. God gave a clear instruction, and I want you to be processing now. Because God gave a clear instruction, I want you to wipe out these guys. But Saul preserved one of them. Now we are finding that this was not the only man that Saul allowed. Because we are now finding that there is a band of trained warriors. Without permission, David now inherited the battle. They didn't send a notice. They didn't inform him. They merely showed up. David thought his enemy was Saul. He didn't know that an unfinished battle had become his own. Today you are taking back your territories. In the name of Jesus. There are battles that are launched against you and you may not know they are there. Simply because you are not aware doesn't mean they are not there. At least David did not know. But those guys knew him. But David didn't know them. But they knew him. And they waited for David to leave. Brothers, for those of you that are married, can I say to you, it's okay for your wife to be a slave queen. Because for your marriage to be scintillating, you need an aspect of slayness. Alright? So, I know I am in the heavens, but I also need to tell you so that you will not be afraid. Because some of you, in your mind now, you have condemned me. That this pastor, he has no affinity for worldly things. Someone say nobody prays using my name again in this church. In those days, people said, God, Pastor Gwinga is so gentle. Can I just get your husband? Now nobody say everything now is fire. Repent. Say, give me a slay king. So I came to announce to you not to be afraid that you require some slayness. It's like they don't know what slayness is. You may need to wear a very long gown, touching your feet when you are coming to church. But when you are at home, you may need bum shorts. You are getting it. It takes to keep your family now. You need to be. You need to update your OS because, your iOS because, what is going on outside there? You may be awake. You will not see your husband again. They just take him away. You just like, where is he? Where he's gone? So there is a level of, but that's not where I'm going. Because some of you are laughing now. You are happy. I just set trap for you. I will go back to my deeper life message now. God will catch you. You see. I'm just telling you that there are certain things that are allowed within the parameters of marriage simply because you are married. Eh? If you are going on honeymoon, you will not go with Domwe now. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Except both of you are prayer warriors. I just want you to, I want your mind to be calm. Because some of you have condemned me. So I came here to encourage you. However, the responsibility of training your wife to be almost as strong as you are is your job. What you know, you must show her. You must tell her. Don't just be a slave queen for nothing. Because there are many places that door will not open. You will not be able to walk in. Because you are too weak. Being a slave queen can keep your family, your marriage. But it cannot keep your territory. Territory is spiritual. David was strong. But none of his wives was trained. None of them knew the God that he knew. None of them had to run for their lives. Most of them met him on that journey. Sometimes the people around you, you need to look at them very carefully. How strong are these men? How strong? If you are not at home, if you have to travel, how long can your sister, your brother, your wife, your husband, because for some of us, it is the wife that is strong. The husband is sleeping. It's not that he's weak. Oh, he's sleeping. He's on drip. He's in a coma. So, if you as the wife are the one that is strong, and you travel to, say, Kenya for an official trip, can you guarantee the spiritual safety of your children while you are away? However, I want you to know that the judgment upon the Amalekite is death. You cannot save them. You cannot save them. If there's an altar in your life, and please let me just give you one or two, three things here, because some of you don't know why you are praying against certain things and you are not seeing traction. If what you are fighting is an altar that was erected, say, 50 years ago, you will not see that altar today, most likely. Because most likely somebody in your house has built a two-bedroom flat there. But altars are not established by like with shrines alone. An altar could be covered in the ground. And it's an altar there. Altars are usually dedicated with blood, which means a sacrifice has been offered. If you don't understand the law of sacrifice, you will keep fighting, but you will never win. Because whatever is established by blood requires blood to nullify it. This is why your understanding of the finished work of Christ, what Jesus did and achieved, you must understand it beyond Happy Easter, beyond public holiday. The things that we those of us who work in the bank, we have secular jobs, and we are only too happy to take that 2 days, Friday, only Friday, only Monday, whatever, Good Friday. For some of us, we just want to sleep, because, and really, I can relate. If you need to sit down and understand, number one, the legal framework, why is it that the blood of Jesus is powerful? You must understand, because if I stand here and I begin to say, oh, you altar, the blood of Jesus is against you, I must know why I expect my declaration to work. Are you with me? If you don't have that understanding, when you say, I plead the blood of Jesus, and you meet with resistance, you will say it's not working. There is a legal angle to the covenant of the blood of Jesus, and there is the operational angle. The legal framework simply tells you, this is what the spiritual law says. This is what was done. Based on this, this is what should obtain or subsist. However, it may not be your reality if you lack the right information. So, altars are established by blood. They are established by words. Words must be spoken on that altar to activate that altar. Spirits also follow altars. So, if you are dealing with, if you come from a bloodline of witchcraft or witch doctors in your family, maybe your grandfathers used to be, they used to serve a particular deity. You now notice that now, that everybody claims to be a Christian, people are not getting married. Please, your condition is different from somebody who watches Kim Kardashian and has decided she doesn't want to get married. Two people may be having similar problems, but for different reasons. This one, there is nobody in that family worshiping that deity again. So the deity fights back by afflicting the people. So that affliction is partly what we refer to as your territory. Everything that is supposed to happen for you naturally, you will have to fight for it. Are you with me? Are you still here? You have gone no more. So you must understand the legal framework of why the blood of Jesus is effective, so that when you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And you must understand the operational. The operational there simply refers to how to use the blood. How to use the what? The blood. Let's take an example from the high priest. The high priest would go into the holiest of all. How many times? How many times in a year? He will go once a year. And before he goes in, a sacrifice must be offered. A blood sacrifice must be offered using an animal that has no blemish. You must not find any spot. The goat or the ram or whatever must not be blind in one eye. Your wretched, oh no, not wretched, your torn 200 naira is the equivalent of one eye goat. All right? So, don't say God will understand. And don't say that this is not a fueling station where you buy diesel, you know, that they will take. Keep your money. When you have serious offering, come back. In fact, the Lord was challenging his people. He said, can you give this one-eyed goat to your governor? Now, let me ask you a question. Is God going to eat that goat? Let's assume the goat has two shiny eyes. Will God eat it? So why is God asking for it? Don't be naive. There is no altar that doesn't take sacrifice. Yes. Whether you are serving God or Satan. Huh? For God to come into covenant with you, an altar will be erected for both of you, because your relationship is now a covenant relationship. So you need to understand what the blood of Jesus is all about. If not, if you are faced with certain things, you will become afraid. Because the day David will face Goliath, he will do it alone. His prayer partner won't be there. His pastor's number will not connect. Because the pastor is this one network that is almost dead. The network comes up once in 3 days. So most likely, his number will not ring. Now, something else I want to bring out here is that by the time the Amalekites came to David. Was David the one to receive the initial instruction to wipe them out? Who received it? Saul. Was David part of the, when Samuel came, was David carrying the bag and the Bible and jotter for Samuel? So David was conscripted into a battle for which he had no idea. What does that also tell us? To be proficient in spiritual warfare, you must have knowledge of history. Your father fought with his brother. Then your father had a quarrel with his own dad or uncle. Now among the siblings, half of them are not in good terms with each other. Then you and your siblings, only three people are talking. The other four, nobody is saying anything. You see how, while you are there arguing with your keypad, one of the greatest evidence that there is a satanic altar that needs to be pulled down is the evidence of patterns. What did I say? The evidence of what? Once you see that these things, so you must now rise as an intercessor in your family. Don't cry again. You are crying too much. Spiritual warfare does not require cry babies. And may I tell you, there are some men, when they cry, you feel embarrassed. The way they cry, you feel so sorry for them. As though they have water in their water bags. Their eyes are connected to the River Niger. It's just. Once you tell them, I can't find, you can't find, you have not even finished saying what you want. You want to say, I can't find my pen. When you say, I can't find. Now, for those of us who know a bit about David, you will know that Ziklag was a major stronghold for him. But the enemy took Ziklag. Sometimes the devil will not challenge you face to face because he knows that you are trained. He knows that if he comes after you, you know, so, and let me tell you, for those of you who are in this church, you hear me now. Your greatest weapon, apart from prayer, may be your ability to shut your eyes. This thing I said, hear it very well in your spirit. I said, apart from prayer, your greatest weapon when executing spiritual warfare may be to what? Close your eyes, shut your eyes. What do I mean by that? You can see the battle in front of you. As long as you keep staring at that thing, you'll be weak. You'll be getting weaker. So what do you do? Sahika. Close your eyes. Don't open it again. As you are praying, keep those eyes closed. Because if you keep looking at this child, the way it's, your resolve, your ability to grow in faith. Because faith is tied to what you see in your mind. The moment you are seeing that thing and say, this case is getting hopeless. See the way it's breathing. See the way it's breathing. The next thing you hear is, let's go to the... You will not know when you will drive past the doctors, the hospital, and you will go to one Ezenwanye somewhere at the back. Because at the door you say, Inai, where's the... You will not know because, you see... was it my wife that was saying something about driving? Some time ago you were preaching. Something about driving past. You can see where you are going in your mind, though. You will just go to Asian Wayne's house. You have to learn the art of spiritual smartness. Where you are, you can see that what is before you. You don't require these two eyes open. You need the ones in the spirit to be open. So you shut your eyes. And you must train the people around you to know that when you are praying, they don't talk to you. Don't talk to me. Some of us, we talk too much. You talk at the office. You talk. You go to the restroom. You talk to yourself. You even talk to yourself. Every time you open your mouth, you are dispensing power. So please, guide what you are exchanging with people. Some people were sent to sap your strength. some people were sent to hear your matter. When Elisha asked the woman, "Is everything all right?" She said, "It is well. It is well. At my age, I know that God is faithful. I may not know how he's going to do it, but I've known him. He may be quiet, but he's working." I said, "He may be quiet, but he's what? He's working for me." Huh? For me, not for you. He's also working for you. Huh? So you know him to that point. Because there are times that Ziklag may be taken. God might have given you Ziklag by covenant, but you find yourself in a situation while running the kingdom business, you will come back and find that Ziklag, your place of authority has been burnt down. And I don't want to imagine how much investment, how much funds have been expended in building Ziklag. But for David to cry, tell your neighbor, big men cry, yo. It's not a sign of spiritual maturity that you know, I know who I'm serving. Oh God, cry, 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 cry. It's okay, you have faith, but first cry. One other thing that is very significant here is that there are moments in your life. It is only the faith you have built before that problem, before that challenge, that will be strong enough to lead you through that phase. You cannot build faith in that season. It is what you already know. Because in that moment, the soldiers whose faith depended not on God but on David, they crashed. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can imagine you just get home and you find that your lovely wife, maybe the one you just married, it's not at home. You just be imagining that we is even manhandling her now. You know, somewhere in your head, they put say, "Okay, let's eat first." I can't, like, my wife only go, and that my wife is fine. Oh, my enemies have caught me. You just be imagining you meant that your fine daughter, that pretty girl, that your son, you see contentions in the mind because of the situation you are going through. You just, I don't know, maybe it's a new trend though. Most of the times, the last few times I've been to the homes of people who lost someone, young people, after like 3 hours of crying, they will bring food for the wife that she should eat. I really don't quite get it. Like, I can't eat. Like, what? Like, okay. Maybe I'm not matured. Maybe there's something I don't understand. Somebody dies. The man is like 46 years. The wife is crying. She's also in denial that no, my husband cannot die. And one of the grown-up women will get up and say, "People need to eat." And they will bring food, first of all, to that woman. The woman will start eating. If I will wake up and slap that food, it's not 3 hours old. You cannot even leave food for 3 days. What do you want to eat for? What are you eating for? Is it not the food you ate till I died? No, maybe. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not matured because I'm just thinking about it. That which mouth do you want to use to eat? Tongue that will fire. If I see you swallow anything there, kill on you. What's wrong with you? Maybe I'm the one. It doesn't make sense to me. Every one of those cases, the women ate. The women, because they were women, all of them, they ate. I'm like, well, this is how you want to leave me? You know, I say, okay, maybe she's grieving. Some people, that's how they coping mechanism. For someone like myself, my coping mechanism, once I hear, I'll go and sleep. If I don't sleep, my blood pressure will start going up. So I'll go and sleep. When I now wake up, I'll now say, "So what happened? Tell me again." But this one of eating, you did not see any coping mechanism that is responsible enough. It's food. How can your husband die? And in 3 hours, somebody even thought of giving you food And you also thought of taking it. But there were some very honorable men that I read about. Let me tell you something. The friends and the people who were looking up to David, they gave them food they could not eat. See grown-up men with catar in their nostrils sat on the floor. But when they saw that the tears of David was more than their own, they said, no, this leadership failure. And they picked up stones. It was you we followed. Just like somebody say, Pastor, but I'm a member of the prayer department. Me too. I'm also, Pastor, I believed everything you say. Picked up stone. When David saw stone, he saw the size of that stone. He said, if this one hit my head, Goliath will not need to come back. I would have died on the spot. He called the high priest. The priest, get me the effort. What am I trying to say to you? There are challenges that come in life where if you have not built your faith in God, you will misbehave. You will act out of character. You will behave as though you have never met God. People may try to relate and understand, but you, at the end of the day, when you look at what you did, you will know that, Kunle, you have not gone far with God. I'm not talking about maturity. I'm talking about the way you behave when certain challenges in life come to you. God expects us to cry, but he doesn't expect us to be foolish. I went to bury somebody, a family member at Aton Cemetery. And while we were coming, just as soon as we buried him, this is my family member, like sister, you know. I was asking, Lord, why? Maybe I was just trying to let me mourn too, so that people will not say I'm strong spirit. Let me also appear to have a resemblance of money. Lord, why? I prayed. Lord, I called upon you. Lord, we fasted. Lord, I just heard my pastor, hey, keep quiet. I said, now your sister died. Say, behave yourself. I kept quiet. In my mind, Lord, why? God answered. But he didn't answer that day. If you are, you may be wondering why certain prayers are not answered. I came to tell you one of the reasons why many prayers are not answered is because of existing agreements, existing altars, existing covenants that your parents tried to shield you away from, and yet they didn't defeat the Amalekites. Let me tell you. If your forefathers took the names of your parents, your dad, your uncles, and dedicated them at an altar, let's say 100 years ago, when those things were still popular, you now say you became a Christian. Sir, you will need to take your name and your children's name and take it to a higher altar. Don't say, I now believe in Christ. It is a conscious effort. Lord, my family, in fact, in those days, some of us, our family name, the son name, will be reflective of the agreement. Ifa Jimmy, do you know those kind of names? Osho Timileyin, Osho Timileyin, but it's Osho. What is Osho? Hello, Yoruba people. Wizardry, sorcery. And you went to tell your friend, and I like his name, Shotimeyi, Mrs. Shotimeyi. You are planning to get married. Shotimeyi, at least you move from Ajayi, your former, your parents' name, Ajayi. You are now moving to Shotimeyi, Shoti. You are happy that, because some of you, that's why you said no to the brother, because of his surname. Yes or yes? Because his name sounds like kangaroo. Say, Pastor, I like him, but Urukwe. His father's name is not vibing, you know. My name is Felicia. They will not say Felicia Kangaroo. So I beg. I know they do. So some people refuse to marry. Instead of you to marry and move on with your life, because the boy's name is one Ogbogbotigbo name. You refuse to marry. Now you are here. You are now saying, Pastor, pray. Me, that we gave your husband sins. See, forget to. This thing I said. No lady is listening. No lady in this place and online agrees with what I'm saying. So don't, me and you, we are together. But you see, no lady will marry a man that the son name is one kind. Yes or yes?
Yes.
You are the only one in the whole world that agreed with me. Many of those families, when they entered into covenant, you started hearing names associated with that God, that idol. Even in the Igbo, community, there are names. You will know this name. You must, is for people that worship Abi Mama, a particular deity. Yeah, you have Fajimi, Fatile, you Fayemi, Ogun Yemi, Ogun Biyi. Ogun has given birth to this one. Professor Ogun Biyi, sir. Any other one? Shokumbi. Okay. That was our former name. That's where's Brad James? Brad James, he just jump and pass. He changed him. Amen. All right. So those are my people. So let me tell you something. It's not in every case where you need to change the son name. All you have to do is break the association with that name. Hello. Because some of you now, you want to go and say, Daddy, what's your real name? I did not ask you to go ask your father any yeye question. No. I said there are some cases you may not be compelled to change the name. If the Lord permits, second service will pray. But I want to tell you why many of us have tried to contend and we didn't attain. There are people bearing Akman, bearing, give me another Calabar name, Isong or something, Basi. But that Ekanem, but that was the name that was used. You will never know. Listen to me. If the name, anytime a covenant is entered into and established by a name, such that every time you mention that name, the spirit realm remembers the covenant. And now nobody honors that altar again. And you now say, Jesus died for me. Jesus, look. Jesus has paid the price, but that price is yet to be enforced. My mentor, they bore a particular name, and the name signifies, a part of the name signifies pain, difficulty. Huh? It's a Yoruba name. So the name has L-E, Le. Think about le, like when something is, I'm just trying to give you an idea. That L-E. But nobody thought about it for years. Until one day, the man of God in the house, the father of the house, started praying and praying and praying. Ah, what's going on? This is a man of about over 50 years. And one day, while he was praying, he said, the Lord told him, in Yoruba, okay, I'm going to lose some of you now. That which is difficult in your name, remove it. That, so he had to look at his name. He now saw that L-E. The Lord said, that part of your name that has a negative connotation of pain and difficulty, remove it. Some of you are giving birth to, and you are named by witch doctors. You are named by false prophet. If you are dealing with delay, you need to go back and start from there. Don't just close your eyes and see it. You are the one in that situation. And you need to fight that battle so that your children will no longer fight. David began to seek the Lord. Which brings us to the next point. You know, when you are dealing with spiritual battles, you must be trained spiritually to ask the right questions. Do you notice that when David came before the Lord to inquire. David, stop crying. Hello? Hello, are you here? So you need to cry when you have the time, but when it's time to talk, be quiet. Be calm. David asked that the effort should be brought, and he asked one question. Should I pursue? You see, asking God, should I pursue? It's like asking a cheetah, do you know how to run? Do you know? As you know, that question sounds very funny. You may not know. Do you know what it means in the old kingdom for the king's soldiers, DSS, military, police, Air Force? What was that military intelligence? Military, I think there's a military intelligence. Military intelligence. LASMA. Navy, the Navy. Everybody in the country working for King Saul to look for David, one man. And they couldn't find him. So if that man, a man, has perfected the art of hiding in plain sight, and the man is now asking, should I pursue? Do you understand the question? Stepping out in the flesh can be your greatest disadvantage. Simply because you think you know what you could have done or what you can do to solve this problem does not give you the right, especially if God is involved. Or especially if you want God to be involved. You have to ask. If you think you are old enough to solve your problem, don't pray. That is why prayer is a mark for humility. It's a requirement God looks at. When he wants to look at a humble person, can he pray? Should I pursue? If I pursue, will I overtake them? Do you know between the time they came, kidnapped those women and children, burnt down the city, they had time. David was not there. They left before David came. And David was asking, Lord, if I go in this direction, I need to go back to my people and tell them this is what the Lord has said. That's what makes you a leader in your home. That's what makes you a leader in your company. That's what makes you a spiritual leader. The ability to go before God and come back and say, this is what the Lord has said. This, I'm talking to you about the requirement for reversing the irreversible. Because what would have happened is that if David didn't get his family back and those men, they would have left him. And David's claim to the throne would have been destroyed in one day. Because now he will be alone. He'll probably have killed himself out of frustration. Say, should I pursue? If I pursue, is there a promise, a divine promise? That will I overtake is like requesting for a prophecy. Lord, this man, are you asking me to marry him? This man looks like they don't live long in their family. If I marry him, will he live long? Learning how to ask the right question. Oga, calm down. As you are praying, there are certain thoughts God will put in your mind. Write them down. Write them down. I don't know how a person can. And these days you have your phone, your notepad, in your iPhone. Use it. From thoughts might be coming to you and you think they are stupid, write it down like that. You know, the devil is your prayer partner. Anything you need to remember, call Mama Prishi, call Ketra, call dry cleaner. When you are praying, the Satan will be reminding you. Just write. Don't stop your prayer. Read 1 John, write it. You need to get to Compton Village, write it. You need to go now, write it. Go now, write it. Use the devil as a Siri or Alexa. Say, should I pursue? Will I overtake them? In other words, are you going to empower me to catch up with them? They say my mates have left me. You have asked me to follow you. If I follow you, will I overtake? Finally, will I recover all? The lives of those who are with me, their wives, their children. Do you know that it's possible for the enemy to come into your house and you don't know they took anything? Huh? Do you know that if thieves come into a house sometimes, you only think of some of the obvious things. Then one day you are looking for your gold pen. You now realize the gold pen is not in the house again. There was a day, I think I dozed off. I left the house. I didn't lock the door. And when I came in, the first thing I went to check is my MacBook. Ah, where's my MacBook? The thought that a thief could come in. Eh? And I didn't see my, like, that one alone. I think that MacBook is over 2 million now. So, that one alone. When I saw where I kept it, eh? I was sweating. Like, I was sweating bullets, sweating. I've seen it, though. I started sweating. So, the sweat was already inside. When I saw it, I started sweating. Many times the enemy will not go for the things that are obvious alone. He will also go for the little things that can be very significant in your life in the future. So, in spiritual warfare, we don't engage without clearance. We don't engage without. Just because you have the name of Jesus doesn't mean you don't need clearance. Especially if you are dealing with inherited battles like Amalekites. So when we come back second service, we'll take some time to pray. Because revelation is key. History is key. Some of you are listening to me now, you are remembering certain things. If your mom ever told you, "I wished I never had you." Ah, that's history. Write it down. That spirit of rejection, that was the root. That spirit of rejection, wanting to receive approval from men, that's where you're going from. If you grew up in a home where your mom told you they abandoned you, or you are alone, or she has no one, she has no family, no, write it down. That's what history. That may be the reason why you are so soft and broken, and you may not know why. You think you are just being feminine, you are broken. That's why you will find a lot of all these people wearing nose rings and all these things. You will know that for many of them, not all, for many of them, they have daddy issues. Go and check them. It's not flex. It's not flex. Many of those who dance online naked, they have daddy issues, because if their dad was in their life, they will never be allowed to do that. So if you don't have a father, let life teach you the hard way. Don't gamble and think that maybe it's going to go away. It's not going to go away. So as we close this first session, I want to circle in on a word of assurance. When David saw the Lord and he said, "Should I pursue?" God said, "Yes." Sorry. "If I pursue, will I overtake?" God said, "Yes." "If I overtake, will I recover everything that was taken away from my life?" God said, "Yes." Come on, say everything. Say everything. Say everything. God made a promise to David. Not just for you. For everyone in your space. No life will be lost. I'm talking about you. He said everything will be recovered. What that means is that we now have a legal. Say legal, legal, legal. We now have a reason. Because when we go to court, you will hear them many times make reference to a case, 1982, that this thing happened like this, and that becomes the basis for which we are asking for this today. So if God was able to grant a hopeless man full recovery, then you can have full recovery. Let's pray for 1 minute. Rise on your feet. Say after me, "Father, in the name of Jesus, let the spirit of faith be released upon me. The spirit of miracles, signs, and wonders. Let it come upon me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The power for the impossible. The power to reverse the irreversible. let it be released in my life. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Open your mouth and begin to pray. The power to reverse the irreversible. The power to reverse the irreversible. The power to reverse the irreversible. Let it be released in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to pray in the name of Jesus. There are things in your life that we need to reverse. Can you ask that right now in the name of Jesus, that the power of the Holy Ghost will flow in your direction?